Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist.
This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives.
Oh, and I forgot to tell you this while we were just chatting for a half an hour, but did you see the post that this Instagram page called Featuring Feminism, I think it's called?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, Featuring Feminism did a great post about our podcast.
Whoa,
on their page.
How cool.
Isn't it? So it's like, you guys should check out their page because they suggest a lot of great, like, books and movies and stuff that are very feminist. So it's like, Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist, hosted by Keegan Winfield and Madigan. And then it's like, episodes released weekly, the premise, and like different things we talk about, and then like what feminist elements does it have? And it's really,
that's really cool.
Isn't
I'll
that
have
really
to check
sweet?
That out.
We were tagged in it, and I was like, oh, I wonder like what this notification is. And I looked at it, and it made me so happy to read that. I was like, that's so sweet.
That's wonderful.
And they live in like the Czech Republic.
That's awesome.
Isn't
well, shout
cool?
out to you guys. Thank you so much.
Oh no, Glasgow, United Kingdom was that one. That's so cool. So thank you. I found that super awesome that this random Instagram found us.
That's wonderful.
Awesome.
We'll definitely give you a shout out on our page as well.
Fuck yeah.
For sure.
For sure.
All right.
So,
well,
sorry, I had to
no,
interject
great.
One more thing. I thought it was really cool.
Oh, I'm so happy. I'm so
yeah.
happy that you did because I didn't notice that. So that's
yeah.
wonderful. Well, we are back with a What's in the News episode.
And boy, did news happen this week.
I have to tell you, like, me and Anthony were sitting and watching the news, which I tend to not do. Usually I get my news through very specific sources because
mm-hmm.
sources that I know aren't going to cause me like too much anxiety.
Well, and also seeing it and hearing it spoken aloud for me is something that's very different than reading it.
Right. And if I'm going to see it, I usually go to sources I trust on a timeline that like I feel
yeah.
comfortable with. But Anthony came home and he was like, I really want to watch the news. I feel like I need to watch the news and just, like, catch up on things.
Yeah.
And so, for an hour, we just sat and watched ABC News.
Oh, my God.
And I was just...
Were you drained afterwards?
It made me very sad, is
yeah.
what it did. Because it's just, like, we... There's always this feeling at the new year that you have this kind of, like, rebirth, this new beginning.
New expectations.
Right.
And, yeah.
And it immediately went to shit. It just, like, went to shit
oh,
right away.
Literally, like, the day... So we recorded last week on Thursday. We released our episode on Friday. And I think Friday was the day that the attacks in Iran happened.
Right. Okay.
So I was like, we literally just missed it.
We did. We did. We just missed it. So if anybody listened to our episode last week and wondered why we didn't talk about potential World War III, it was because when we recorded, it hadn't fully happened yet.
Yeah.
So what we are talking about is on Friday last week,
yeah.
Donald Trump authorized an overnight strike in Baghdad, in Iraq, that killed Iran's top general, Qasem
yeah.
Soleimani, on Friday. So Soleimani was the second most powerful person in Iran, following the supreme leader, the Ayatollah. So
yeah.
this was a massive deal. And it's not fully surprising. Like, I spent earlier today reading a timeline of our conflicts with Iran.
Yeah, I mean, it's... apparently, they were plotting, the Iranians were plotting to target American diplomats and service members.
Well, that's what they say.
That's what they're saying.
Which
and
I don't know if I believe them.
It seems very, like, allegedly they were planning this, that, and the other thing.
Well,
I don't really know.
Well, he only came out with saying that, like, maybe it's just the way Trump talks, but it felt very much defensive.
Yes.
Like a thing that was just like,
yeah,
I just saved you guys, and
yeah.
you should be thanking me for this. And to me, it doesn't quite make sense because... they say that they did it to prevent a conflict, but what's happened
has
is
created a conflict,
sunk us into potential war.
Yeah.
Like, we are going to go to war with
yeah.
Iran, which Iran is a massive military power in
yeah.
the Middle East. It will not be good for us if we go to war
well,
with Iran.
It seemed, and not to, like, you know, spoiler, because this is kind of something I read later on, like yesterday, but apparently, here we go. It says, Iranian Foreign Minister Javed Zarif tweeted, Iran took and concluded proportionate measures in self-defense under Article 51 of the UN Charter targeting base from which cowardly armed attack against our citizens and senior officials were launched. We do not seek escalation or war, but will defend ourselves against any aggression. So it sounds like this foreign minister is like... we will protect ourselves. Like, they did do some sort of counterstrike, right?
They did.
Yeah,
so
I think that he's saying, like, this is all we're going to do. And then Trump tweets, all is well.
So I watched the foreign minister talk to a correspondent with ABC. Okay. They interviewed him. He's fucking pissed.
Oh, I bet. I'd be pissed, too. I mean, like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, we came in... It's an act of war, right? Yeah. It's an act of war. This is a powerful military general.
Yeah.
And since then, they've come out and they've said, well, Soleimani was a terrorist and he was all these other things, yeah, which isn't true, really.
Well, what's the... I'm going to pronounce this wrong, but it's like the Quds Force. It's Quds.
It's Quds, I think.
Quds. Okay. Yeah. It's a branch of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. But that doesn't sound like...
Right.
A terrorist...
I would suggest going and listening to Behind the Bastards just put out an episode on Soleimani, and he did it with Anna Hosnier, who's the host of the Ethnically Ambiguous podcast. She's Iranian, and they had a discussion about this man. Like, look, he's not a nice guy, doesn't seem like a great person, but I don't think he was a terrorist, and in fact, I think a lot of the things that they put in place actually helped to fight ISIS in the region and things like that. So let's kind of like go briefly through some of the conflicts that have happened between the United States and Iran to get us to this point, and then like what's going to happen now.
Yeah.
So tensions have been building for some time. Trump was on the campaign trail, actually, in 2016 when he was threatening to pull us out of the Iran nuclear deal, which was one of President Obama's key foreign policy achievements. So,
that was the other thing, is that he, apparently Trump years ago, like in 2013, was talking about how Obama was going to make an attack on Iran just to prove that he was like a tough guy or whatever.
Right, because, yes, Trump tweeted that because Obama's approval ratings were falling, he would initiate a war with Iran to
get his approval ratings
back up, right? Which...
Is that what he's doing now?
Immediately after you got impeached, less than a month after you got impeached, actually almost to the day, you did an act of war against Iran.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
you. No, no, no. It's a good thing to point out that I believe he can say all he wants that they were conspiring to do something nefarious, but one, how do you prove that to the American people if you can't reveal what it was?
Yeah.
And two, this all feels very like sloppily thrown together. And three, it didn't prevent anything. We have more troops going into Iran. Tensions are fucking high.
Yeah.
And they are trying to, spoiler again, moving forward, they're trying to pull out of the nuclear deal right now, which means that they can make nuclear weapons, which is incredibly dangerous, not only for us, but for
everybody.
Everyone.
And the fucking planet.
And Iraq.
Yeah.
Like, we did this thing on Iraq's soil in Baghdad with no regard for what it would mean for the people in that region. We're destabilizing relations.
When allegedly the war, you know, years ago was to stabilize and create a democracy or whatever, which was such bullshit.
Right. But I mean, and people are very concerned, as they should be, about Americans are very concerned about getting into a conflict or a war with Iran. However, I don't think they are going to attack us on the mainland of U.S. soil. So I don't think that that's something that we need to worry about.
Yeah.
And I have a hard time believing that they're going to reinstate the draft. A lot of people are speculating that that's possible. And it could be because this will not be a popular war. And so people will not want to enlist
on their
own.
That's kind of what I was thinking. And I was doing a lot of reading about, I can't remember what it's called now, but it's basically like, I didn't know this, but every man in the U.S. when they turn 18 has to sign up basically for the draft. But it's called something else, and I can't remember what it's called.
I heard a thing that said anyone who signed up for FAFSA, which I did, which was a financial aid
I mean, that might be true, but there's also... I'm going to look it up, because there's something specific. It's called the Selective Service System, and it is kind of the draft, but it's not. So when you turn 18, I texted Max when I read about this, and I was like, when you were 18, did you sign up for this, like, Selective Service System or whatever? And he was like, yes, you have to. So it's this, like... Yeah, I don't really know what...
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what it is. Now,
I did some reading on it, and I left those notes at home. But, yeah, basically, it's, like, similar to the draft, but it's not... The draft isn't in play right now. Like, there is no draft.
Right.
So it's basically just kind of, like, a list of information of, like, men. And then there was a whole thing back in 2016, I think, where they were talking about instating women into that, too.
I mean, I imagine if they reinstate the draft, which I'm not sure they will do, but I have a feeling that if they reinstate the draft, women will also be eligible for the draft. Luckily, because you and I are in our late 20s, we won't be in the first round of draft picks. The first round...
But that sucks for, like, 18, 19, 20-year-old girls.
18 to 25 would be... has been in the past, the first round. I think it goes up to 35, but that's kind of like a secondary measure. Yeah. So you're on the hot seat if it's 18 to 25. But I don't think that they are going to get to that point. And I feel like I understand that Americans are having a hard time kind of figuring out how to process this news. And it's difficult not to process it in a way that feels self-centered. But I don't think that there's going to be any nuclear attacks on the mainland soil. Could be, possibly. I'm not sure they're going to reinstate the draft. I think that it would be incredibly unpopular if they did.
But what if they go to war and they have to instate the draft because not enough people are signing up for the military?
It's possible.
Like, I mean, that's the reason I would think it would happen.
But first of all, there's always going to be people who are willing to sign up. Like, coming from a Midwest military background.
Especially, like, Trump supporters right now are probably like, yeah, I'm doing it.
There are Americans who are weirdly itching to go to war. So there's always going to be people who are willing to sign up.
Right.
I think it would be so unpopular. I think it could have very disastrous consequences if they try and force people to go to this war.
Oh, yeah, I think that would hurt Trump even more.
Right. And so I feel like what we need to be focusing on, too, I understand, like, it's, of course, in the back of our minds, we're going to be thinking about how this affects us personally. But more than that, it's going to destabilize this region further. Yeah. So think about the people of Iraq, think about the people of Iran, and then think about what it's going to do to Islamophobia, xenophobia, and the things that are going to happen
in
our
US,
country.
Yeah,
which we're already seeing. Yeah. You know, it's becoming more difficult.
Well,
for
people. And it's never stopped. You know what I mean?
No, it's never stopped.
Our
this will
history
ramp it up.
Of Islamophobia in this country is absolutely disgusting, and this is just another reason for people to point to that as being something dangerous.
Right.
It's really, really upsetting.
This will ramp it up for sure.
Yeah.
So after that, on the campaign trail in 2016, in May of 2018, as president, he announced that we would be formally pulling out of the U.S. Nuclear deal, which you and I discussed on this podcast, I believe, which granted Iran sanctions relief and returning frozen assets to Iran in exchange for restrictions on its nuclear programs and international inspections. In April of 2019, the Trump administration designates Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps as a foreign terrorist organization, which is what you were talking about, and which is what Soleimani was kind of heading up.
Yeah, I think I remember Max saying something that he read that now the U.S. is seen as, like, a terrorist organization. Like, the U.S. military is seen as
it should be.
In one of those countries. I remember him saying something about that.
The things that we have done, again, like, listen to the Behind the Bastards episode, and also I would suggest going and watching that interview with the foreign minister, because that is very much, we're seen as bullies. We're seen as very arrogant bullies, which a lot of the shit that we have done in those regions, we can't act like we're the good guys in this situation.
Nope.
Like, we're not really. And they have a right to be upset with
us. Yeah, there was a really heartbreaking video I know we were trying to get through, like, your list here.
It's
but
okay.
There was a really heartbreaking video that I watched yesterday of a man who was saying, like, just completely heartbroken. He's like, is this not a democracy? It's like, we don't hate Americans, but we hate your president. And
no,
it's just like,
we fucked with their sovereignty.
Yeah.
And that isn't okay.
It's not okay.
It's not okay. And in 2019, in April of 2019, when we declared that Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps was a foreign terrorist organization, it was the first time that the U.S. had officially identified a branch of a foreign state as a terrorist organization. So, I mean, we stepped in and decided that part of their military branch was a terrorist organization. We called them terrorists.
Yeah.
Which is like, really fucked up.
Well, and on what grounds, too? You know,
there were some things to do with Syria that I'm not educated to speak on, but it wasn't anything worse than anything that Americans have done.
Yeah.
Like, the same way that we kind of created ISIS and have also helped to get rid of ISIS, they kind of did the same thing.
Yeah.
They were kind of working both sides. And that's not great.
It's almost sounding very hypocritical.
Incredibly hypocritical, and it's racist, to be honest. Like, that's what it is.
It's racist as fuck.
Right. It's because
Welcome to America.
It's because Islamic is in the title there.
Yeah.
So last summer, we discussed this, Iran shot down a drone that they said was violating their airspace. Yeah. It was a U.S. drone, and the U.S. retaliated with very harsh sanctions against Iran, and it was at that point that I think Iran started playing with pulling out of the nuclear deal, because they were just like, right. If you're going to retaliate with such harsh sanctions, then we might pull out.
Well, yeah, like, that's just also playing the game fairly.
Right. And so then, most recently, was the execution, basically, the assassination of Soleimani on Friday. And the White House said that the attack was done at the direction of the president. Mm-hmm. Trump...
Who was playing golf at the time, of course.
Of course. Yeah, he's never going to actually be in the Situation Room to make these decisions. Trump, about 24 hours after the strike, defended his order and said Soleimani was, quote, plotting intimate and sinister attacks on American diplomats and military personnel. Trump also said in a series of tweets that if Iran responded to the attack on the death of their military leader, the U.S. would have a disproportionate response, which is the dumbest way you could have fucking worded that. Yeah. A disproportionate response.
Yeah, what does it even mean?
And it was interesting watching the interview with the foreign minister, because he was just like, we won't give you a disproportionate response.
We
will give you a proportionate response to what you've done to us, essentially.
Exactly.
Yeah. And he even went as far as to say that the U.S. would attack 50 some odd cultural sites in Iran. So we'll destroy your culture, which is a war crime.
Yes.
So he had to walk that statement back. And I watched him walk it back, where he was basically like, I guess it's a war crime, so I won't do it. But I don't understand, like, if they're able to fuck with us so much, like, why can't we fuck
Trump
up their culture?
Trump is, like, such a teenage girl on Twitter rant. Like, he's like, I'm going to do this, this, and that. But, I mean, I won't actually do it, because, like, that'd be super bad. Like,
well, I mean, I think he's such a teenage girl. He would actually do it.
He would, but he has to walk it back and be like, just kidding, LOL.
All of the, like, officials were like, hey, you can't say that.
Yeah.
That's a war crime against the Iranian people. So Iran's Ayatollah vowed vigorous vengeance against U.S. U.S. citizens are being urged to leave the country, and we're already seeing a crackdown on Iranian Americans entering back into the United States.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands of Iranians gathered for Soleimani's funeral procession. So they're also trying to tell us that the Iranian people hated Soleimani, like he was a really bad guy.
Yeah.
He was not a good guy, but they did not hate him. They showed up in hundreds of thousands to mourn him, and they were burning U.S. flags. They were...
Don't blame them.
...fucking furious. So,
I mean, would we not be doing the same thing in their shoes?
Even if it was someone I didn't like, the point is, another country...
Yeah.
...had the fucking gall to come in here and fuck with your top officials. Like, it's beyond.
Yeah.
So on January 7th, missiles from Iran target U.S. military facilities in Iraq. So Iran launched multiple missiles that targeted American military facilities, and they hit on Wednesday morning in northern Iraq and also at the Al-Asad air base in western Iraq. Mm-hmm. There were no U.S. or Iraqi casualties, and the damage was minimal. So yesterday, on Wednesday, Trump responded to the missile attacks and said that Iran appears to be standing down, which I don't know. And basically that he was going to try and de-escalate the tensions. But you're also getting a lot of... He's saying that we're going to de-escalate, but then he'll turn around and say something that is kind of going in the other direction of that. So it's really, really hard to tell where we actually stand on any of this.
Yeah, exactly. Ugh.
So yeah, I mean, we may be going into World War III. It made me very nervous. My cousin was just deployed last month to Afghanistan, but I wasn't sure where she was. So I had to, like, message my family and
make
say,
sure everyone was okay.
Right. I mean, and I know that there were no casualties, but still, it's a very scary thing when you have family that's in the military in that region who could possibly be affected.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's talk about something else that's awful, shall we? And that is the fires in Australia. So, these fires have been burning for months and months and months, and they have burned over 12 million acres in Australia, and every state in Australia is being affected. I saw a lot of different numbers when it came to how many animals have been affected.
I've seen half
a billion, but there's a scientist who is saying in Australia that it is probably closer to a billion at this point. Thousands of people have been evacuated, and at least 24 have died. So many believe the fires are caused by excess plant growth and mismanagement of public land. So they do kind of partake in this hazard reduction burning that they did for mm-hmm. the Amazon fires as well, where it's like when the weather is cooler, you deliberately like light a fire to burn vegetation, and then the next year you can grow it again. You just kind of keep doing that over and over again. But now 24 people have been arrested for intentionally starting the fires.
What pieces of shit. That happens yeah. every time when we have wildfires here in California too. There's always some fucking asshole who is just like, I'm gonna start a fire.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know what the intentions were with the fires, because this is the information that I got. So it says, the New South Wales police have taken legal action against 183 people, 40 of which were juveniles, for fire-related offenses. 53 of those have received cautions or criminal charges for failing to comply with the total fire ban, and 47 are accused of discarding lit cigarettes or matches. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't know if all of it is necessarily arson, or the complete no fire ban has just been forgotten. I mean, like, you know, they're right. following I mean, it, and they're throwing cigarette butts and matches and things like
that. That's what I would assume as far as that is concerned. When I was watching the news, they said that there were several cases of straight out arson.
Yeah, I wasn't, you know, that's what I'm saying, is there's so many, I mean, there's been legal action against 183 people, mm-hmm. so I'm sure it's a variety of offenses and things like that, but they're saying that, you know, they're kind of breaking down the numbers of, like, the different severity of, like, the fires they have caused and things like that. So, I want to talk about Kaylin Ward from California, who calls herself the Naked Philanthropist. We love her. Apparently, at least I do. I don't know if you do. Apparently, there's something called charity porn, and it's like a thing. Like, apparently on Pornhub, there's a thing that says...
This is the blonde Pornhub woman, cares. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
There's like a part of Pornhub that says Pornhub Cares, where it lists all the different charities that it, like, donates to.
Which is
to,
great.
Which I think is super cool. So, within hours of Ward posting about sending nudes to those who donate to Australian Red Cross and World Wildlife Fund, she received $5,000 in donations. By January 6th, the amount surpassed $1 million, and she is now working to inspire other sex workers to exchange nudes for genuine donations. And she is going through them and making sure that the donations are, like, genuine and legit. And she tweeted, I've decided to start my own organization whose proceeds go to charities. If you're a girl and want to be a, quote, naked philanthropist and sell your nudes for a good cause, email me and include your name, Twitter, and Instagram handle.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
I posted about this in our My Worst Date Facebook group, and I had someone comment and said that she is problematic. So I need to take a closer look. If she is actually donating her proceeds to the Australian fires, I think that that's great. I don't think that we can discount any good, that someone is trying to do. There have been claims of racism, so I need to go and check that out. But I overall think that the sentiment of, because she was doing it on Instagram at first.
Yeah.
And
it was like a direct message thing.
And then Instagram shut her down.
Yeah.
But she, I think that, look, use your powers for good, babe. Yeah. And it's just a body. Like, it's just your body. So if you're comfortable with it, I'm like, fine. Like, if you can raise money doing something as simple as taking off your clothes, then go for it.
And that's what you want to do. Go for it, you know?
Absolutely. Like, you know, I wish there was more that I could do for this situation.
I'm not sending my vagina out to anybody for money, though.
No, it's not my thing. It's not my thing.
Yeah.
But these fires are so devastating that, you know, go for it.
Yeah, I love, users on Twitter have pointed out, not all heroes wear capes. Some don't even wear clothes at all, which I love.
Lovely, lovely. Cute. So yeah, I mean, not that I want to put anybody in the position where they have to watch the news the way that I did, but I would suggest spending a little bit of time watching a little bit of the coverage from Australia.
Yeah.
Just so that you can understand the severity of the issue.
Yeah.
And yes, we've pointed out arson as a reason for this, but also if you spend any time watching the news coverage, they actually do point to, it was kind of the perfect storm of situations that caused these fires, including that there's really weird environmental stuff going on.
Well,
that is a byproduct of climate change.
Yeah, it is. It's, well, they were saying that the fires were probably caused from excess plant growth and mismanagement of public land. Like, there's a lot.
Well, and there's also
going
a weird,
into it.
There was a weird wind pattern. I'm not a meteorologist, just so I can't speak on it, but they were showing diagrams of, like, very strange wind patterns that were causing the fires or diverting any rain.
And spreading them as well. Right,
and there was a drought period and stuff like that. So it was a weird combination of environmental factors, but yeah. Definitely climate change has a huge hand and a huge role to play in this situation.
So, 100%. Just like with the Amazon fires, you know, it's like the reason that these fires are so huge and unstoppable is because our planet is in the position that it is, you know?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Making it harder to prevent these fires.
It will happen more and more. Yeah. I mean, they were showing a diagram which is like, the fires here in California, the wildfires, were insane.
Yeah.
They were insane. They were huge. And then the fires in the Amazon followed directly after that.
And the ones in Australia are, like,
the fires way worse. In Australia are twice as many as both the Amazon and the California wildfires combined. So
that's insane.
Yes. So, something a little less awful.
Okay. I have something that's not awful at all. Yeah, so you go with a little less.
Oh, no. We have the same thing.
Oh.
Yeah, we have the same
thing. Oh, this isn't awful at all, Keegan. This is fantastic.
For us, the royal family feels slightly differently.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, we feel great about
it. They're kind of assholes, so what are you going to do?
So Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, the Duchess of Sussex, have decided to step back as senior members of the royal family, which I think is so cool.
I do, too.
They collectively made this decision. It makes me like them so much more.
Yeah.
It makes me like Prince Harry a lot more.
Oh, I've always preferred Prince Harry.
I love Prince Harry.
He just seems more down to earth, you know?
He does, but how down to earth can you actually be whenever you've been in that kind of, like, environment?
Well, I mean, comparatively, he seems more down to earth. Yes. You know what I mean?
So this really solidified for me that this is somebody who wants to live a down to earth kind of lifestyle.
Yeah, and it's interesting to me that their reason for, you know, leaving their senior status is to earn a professional income, which I would assume that means that they want to work. And, you know, it's interesting because, like, being a senior member of the royal family, you're kind of, like,
you get an allowance from the queen.
Exactly. You have your money just kind of given to you. You're taken care of. So the fact that they actually want to have their own autonomy and make their own money and work, I think, is something that
it makes me like Harry a lot more.
Yeah.
Because I imagine, not everybody, but somebody who has worked in the past and has always had to kind of, like, earn their keep, it can be difficult to be then put in a position where you are expected to not work.
Yeah, and I feel like for Meghan Markle, too, like, she had so many other passions that I feel like this is, like, helping her personal life. And, I mean, this poor woman has been dragged through the mud by the royal family, by the press. Like, they even have, like, lawsuits against, like, the Daily Mail, I think, for posting some, like, really racist things and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Daily Mail's trash.
Yeah, and, you know, it's been, I don't really follow stuff with the royal family. My mom's a huge fan of The Crown and, like, listens to all the gossip
cannot
that's going
get into
on
the
now.
Crown. I've tried, like, four times.
Either. My mom loves it, but the stories she was telling me were fascinating. I like hearing it from her. But basically, you know, like, Kate Middleton, it seems like, isn't really a fan of Meghan Markle. The Queen is not really a fan of Meghan Markle. And Harry even said, you know, I saw
how much stock I want to put in those stories necessarily.
Exactly.
Because they always try and pit women against each other.
They do. But it's also, I've heard that, you know, like, Prince Harry said, you know, the press did this to my mother. They're now doing this to my wife. And I'm not okay with that, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, the chastising and the ridicule and, you know, I think that Kate Middleton definitely fits the image of being part of the royal family much better than Meghan Markle does.
Yes.
You know, her race, her previous job.
Her nationality? She's American.
Being American. Like, you know, it's a very different thing. So I feel like by the couple making this decision together for themselves, for their son, I think it's just, like, a really admirable decision that they're making. And because they even say on the SussexRoyal.com website, the two currently have no income of any form. And I was like, yikes.
Right. Well, they don't, because the government supports the royal family to the tune of £67 million a year, or about $87.7 million U.S. dollars, according to recent figures. So, I mean, that's the entire royal family, so they'd have to split that up. But there's no reason for them to work. And there's no reason for Harry to ever have worked, which is what makes me like him the most, because I'm just like, you are making a decision to do something that you have never done.
Yeah, and you're stepping into uncharted territory.
That must be weird and scary and uncomfortable for you.
Yeah.
But it's also really great because they are allowing their child the chance at a normal life, and they quote unquote normal. And they did say that they want their son to be able to honor his royal heritage and, you know, enjoy those parts. And that's why they're going to be splitting their time between the United Kingdom and North America. But they also want him to have some kind of semblance of a life.
Yeah, and I think that with their standing in line for the throne, that makes the most sense. He's, like, sixth in line, I think. So it doesn't really, I mean, like, yes, there are certain royal duties, and they say that they still will, like, you know, comply with a lot of their royal duties that they have, but they are going to have more freedom, it seems, to be able to do other things.
Right, they're stepping down as senior members.
Yeah.
And there were reports that
they're
came
not
out
walking
that
said, away entirely, you know.
Right. There were reports that said that the royal family is very hurt by this decision. They're not happy with it. And it's gone even so far as, like, yesterday, Madame Tussauds in London took their wax figures out from the royal, like, there's a room that has, like...
Like, the royal family.
Right, that has the queen, and then her husband, Prince Philip, is that his name?
I think so.
And then Will and Kate, and then on the other side...
Oh, Charles. Charles is
Charles is her son.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. And then the other side, it was Meghan and Harry, and they've removed them. They're putting them in a different...
So petty.
They're putting them in a different part, but I guess because they're not senior members of the royal family anymore.
They can't be in that.
But they did it, like, same day. Like, they made their statement. They were like, well, yoink.
That's petty as fuck.
Yeah. So it's interesting, you know, and it I love it. I kind of love it. It's just like...
And their son, little Archie.
Cute.
Did you see the Christmas photo? Where
no, but...
Oh, my God.
Cute.
His little face, like, the camera's, like, on the ground, and Meghan and Harry are sitting in the back, and Archie's little face is, like, right in the camera,
adorable.
And you're just like...
How could he not be?
Squeeze it!
You had to know he was going to be, like,
yeah,
the cutest thing of all time.
Yeah, the cutest thing. So, congratulations to Meghan and Harry.
Yeah.
We are very proud of you. Yes.
Yeah. So, this episode is running a little long. I'm just going to say... Ruth Bader Ginsburg no longer has cancer. She announced that yesterday.
Woo!
Fantastic. Wonderful. We're so happy for her.
Yes.
But yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
I mean, The Bachelor's back.
I'm not watching it.
You're not watching it?
I don't know.
Girl, you gotta watch the first episode, because Hannah's back.
I mean, I know.
It's not gonna go anywhere. Like, she was doing Dancing with the Stars, whatever. But... fucking drama. So good. I'm not getting into that, but before the Meghan Markle thing happened, I was like, I'm going to talk about The Bachelor.
I mean, fair.
Fair.
But I just, Peter kind of annoys me, so I'm like, eh.
He's an interesting lead. Like, I'm curious to see where it's going to go,
so
and that's
boring.
Why I'm
going to say. Yeah, but it's just every Bachelor is more boring than the next. I'm so tired of it. Like, so tired of it.
So many pilot puns and windmill puns and sex innuendos. One girl, like, sorry, I know we're running long, but this one girl said this joke where she was like, there's one thing you really need to know about me. I have a really dry sense of humor. And then she starts, like, laughing at herself. And Peter's kind of like, and this is her intro, like, coming out of limo. Peter's kind of like, what's going on? She's, like, laughing. And then she says something like, but that's the only dry thing about me.
Oh, gross.
I know. I was like, did you just tell him you're wet all the time?
Go away. And uncomfortable. Who's
yeah.
wet all the time?
And then she tries to, like, apologize for it later. And Peter, like, either legit didn't remember the joke or was, like, pretending he didn't to make her feel better. And then she said the joke again, and then somebody came in and took her away, and she starts crying because she had no time with him. And
okay,
I was like,
bye. Oh my God, I don't have the patience.
Well, it's hilarious.
If you have anything you would like us to talk about, please reach out. You can email us at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com. You can also get us on Instagram at @angryneighborhoodfeminist. You can find us on Twitter at Yamp Podcast, YANF Podcast. You can also find us on Facebook. We have a business and a group page. You can leave us a review on our business page mm-hmm. or on Apple Podcasts. We love getting new reviews.
We sure do.
You can also listen to us on Radio Public if you are so inclined.
Yes.
It's a free app for you, and it helps us just a little bit.
Just a smidge.
And that's it.
Yeah. I think we did it. All right, cool, guys. That's all we have for you today. With all that being said, we encourage you
to rage on.
Bye.